This is Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirau Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, g'day to our PNG listeners, and hello to everyone. Welcome to Nation Footy, the go-to place for all your Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and my usual Cook Island Kiwi, Tinirau Arona, is not here. He's on RLPA duties for the next month or so. So opposite me today is a rugby league superstar who played over 200 NRL games and Super League games, represented Mate Maatonga 15 times, including captaining the most recent series against England, the big man, Will Hopoate. Will, welcome to the show, mate. Thanks for filling in.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me on. Malolole to everyone out there. Another jam-packed NRL round to get into. Obviously, a lot of international rugby, Sam, so I can't wait to hear all about that and your thoughts about the games on the weekend. We also have Shelley Long, who will give us all things women's footy.
I love having you on. T never says that about rugby union when he has to introduce it. He goes, oh, man, boring rugby union. But you've got a bit of a spring in your step. Absolutely love it. And our special guest this week is an old teammate of yours, Siliva Havili. I'm looking forward to that chat. Mate, have you got anything for us, you know, that we should look forward to by having him on?
Yes. Well, Siliva, he's the leader for the Sipitau, for the Tongan team. And fun fact about Siliva, he actually played made his debut in 2014, played only 3 NRL matches, and made his debut for the New Zealand Kiwis before then coming back to play for Tonga. So,
oh, so he played for the Kiwis first?
He played a test match.
One game. Yeah, oh, yeah. There you go.
He only played 3 games in a row and got picked for New Zealand. So fun fact about Siliva.
Outstanding work. Can't wait to have him on and go through the rest of the show. Let's rip in.
Moment of the week.
For me, the moment of the week was pretty obvious, that T's away. So it's a great moment to have him away finally. And we've upgraded to, I'm joking, he's the man. Joking, but hey, moment of the week is actually, I thought, is you being on the show. You had a stellar career. You know, you've represented your state, you know, won a premiership, played for Tonga. Like, you've done it all in the game. And you know, when you look back on your career, what do you make of it?
I'm very grateful. Definitely achieved more than what I thought. I was happy to get on the stage and play a game, let alone just the season I would have been happy with. But, you know, to play over a decade of professional footy, definitely lived my dream, which I'm grateful for.
Any one particular moment that stands out for you that you go, wow, that I'm glad I achieved that?
Yeah, well, probably winning a premiership in the NRL and the Super League. That always, obviously, a big highlight, being able to get a ring in both codes, and as well as representing Tonga on the occasions that I did. Always a blessing and a proud moment to do so.
Yeah, I love that, man. I can't wait to, you know, when we talk to her, Siliva, and just talk about, you know, your experience playing alongside him with Tonga, and just going through the emotional side of things with that game. So absolutely love hearing that, and hopefully we'll get you back on, I think, in a few weeks' time, because T will be away for a while. But let's rip into the rugby league news.
Sounds good.
Hey, everyone. Alex Johnson here from the PNG Kumuls, the South Sydney Rabbitohs. You're here with Nation Footy.
All right, Will, we always start with the rugby league news because that's how T wanted it. Doesn't want rugby league going first. But look, what's happening over the weekend? What games and what Nation players really caught your eye?
The Raiders and Warriors was a good game. It went down to the wire, really, and Raiders won by a conversion. But a player that stood out to me, an Asian player that stood out to me, was Adam Fanua Blake. His carries, his work rate defensively. I think in the past, Adam's probably sort of been known as an attacking player, not really known for his defensive efforts. But, you know, the way I watched him, his effort on effort, his little one percenters that, you know, the fans and crowd might not see, but the coaches do. He definitely caught my eye. And there was a particular set towards the back end of the game where he took 2 carries in a set. His first carry was a great carry, 10, 15 metres, found his front, got a quick play of the ball, and later on in the set scored a try that, you know, could have matched or tied the game and could have sent the game into overtime if the kick went in.
20 points to 14 as it comes back to Walker. To Fanua Blake, is across the line. Try! Try to the Warriors. 5 metres to the left-hand side of the upright. Try, Warriors.
Yeah, I picked the Warriors that game. I thought they were going to get over the line. Harris DeVita, that was him that lined up the kick, wasn't it, to take it into overtime?
Yeah.
The pressure moments. You ever been a goal kicker?
I haven't, and I tell you now, if I was him, I would have missed as well. So,
yeah, not to throw stones.
Yeah,
no
not
way.
Throwing stones, not at all. So I feel sorry for him, and hopefully he does better in the future. Another game that was great yesterday, Manly come away with a convincing win against the Titans down at Brookie Oval. They seem just to grow another level when they play down there in front of a full crowd, Manly. Two Nizam players that stood out to me in that game was the return of Daniela Paseka. He's been out injured with a thumb injury, and he had a great return in his return game from that thumb injury. And also, someone I want to point out is Tommy Talau. He's I feel like he's been an underrated player, not only for Manly, but in the NRL. He's his carries out of the backfield, his versatility and being able to play multiple positions. And he scored a number of tries in recent weeks, including one on the weekend where we scored against the Titans.
Open side right now. A round of applause here for Jake Corey. It's a nice moment there. He's getting a standing ovation, the New South Wales captain. He's speaking about how he's adored by his teammates, equally so by the Manly Warringah faithful. Brooks to the left-hand side. Meanwhile, Tommy Talau on the end of it, dodging to score the try. It is well and truly party time now for Manly.
Yeah, Tommy's in outstanding form. He scored a great try last week. Got a nice little inside ball from your brother. Mate, one, what's it like being in the stands watching your family? And two, how's his eye? It blew up like a balloon. Is he okay?
He's all right. He's actually all right. I was with him, obviously talking to him after the game, and it seems to look a lot worse than what it is. He gets scans on it today, and he's obviously hoping that results are in his favour, and it's not too much of a big fracture. But for me as a big brother, I'm 10, 12 years older than Lehigh, and so it's just great. In my mind, he's still a little kid that I used to kick around at home and go take my plate to the sink and things like that. But it's just
know your role.
But now he's obviously he's an adult. He's his own man now. He's forging a name for himself in the NRL space, and it's great to see, really, for our family.
Oh, man, speaking of names, last week Tinnerow comes in and he goes, oh, how do you say Lehigh's name? I was like, bro, it's Lehi. I talk to the and our producer Declan's like, going, no, I'm pretty sure it's Lehigh. They sent it. He's like, trust me, I put my house on it. It's Lehi. I've asked my wife. I do the checks. Yeah, next minute coming. Oh, no, it's Lehigh. I was like, damn it. No good. But that's it. And has anyone in your family not played NRL? Like, because your sister's killing it. Your brothers have all killed it. Yeah, like, it's just breeding ground for superstars.
Yeah, well, I suppose. Yeah, obviously, mum and dad done a good job in raising us. If we, growing up, I think dad obviously played a big influence. Sometimes would feel his love in a very physical way if we didn't play the best. Which, helped us, motivated us to play good. But, I think it's definitely a great blessing for our family. I'm one of 11. Four of us boys have played great, and my sister in the NRLW, so it's a joy.
And who's your tip? Who's in form at the moment do you think that can take out the premiership?
Well, Penrith is always going to be there. They're just a machine, aren't they? Someone's injured, Cleary's injured, they've still been winning, he comes back, they keep winning. So I think Penrith are still favourites. I think dark horses for me are Manly, if Tommy Turbo can stay on the field, and as well the Storm. I feel like they're just flying under the radar. They're coming first at the moment. I think they're 4 points clear, but no one seems to be speaking a lot about them. So Melbourne always thereabouts.
Yeah, they are slipping under the radar. Yeah. And they probably like that as well, exactly, being down there in Melbourne. And remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. We also had the New South Wales Jersey Flag. Kaviti Silk Towers lost 16-4 to the Warriors in La Toca, the Sugar City, on the weekend, and in the Queensland Cup. Everyone had the bye this week, and Hunters have the bye next weekend too, which means with four rounds to go, PNG Hunters are seventh at the moment and could be even higher by the end of the round, given they are guaranteed 2 points with the bye. Anything else, Will, that's caught your eye? Something out of the blue? Nothing? Something?
I think that's all of rugby league. Off to Union to you now, Sam.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate that. Let's go to rugby union. And we are going to kick it off with Tonga versus Spain, played over in Del Favor Stadium in Tonga. It was, I think from last week's effort against Italy, I thought they showed glimpses of maturity, just the way that they played. And I said, there was moments where, on turnover attack, that they looked like they were getting into the right systems, right parts of the field, and knew what to do. But this weekend, they just seem to fell away from that. A lot of handling errors. There was line-outs not going straight, or it was a poor delivery, so Tonga couldn't launch off it. They just gave a lot of penalties away, and it just didn't allow Tonga to get into any type of flow or momentum to build pressure throughout the game on Spain. And Spain just capitalized on those errors. You know, they won the position battle, they won the possession battle, and they just took the opportunities to score points when they were on offer, and they just built that scoreboard pressure. So there's some learnings there for Tonga to be able to, you know, use their superstars, because they've got plenty of superstars there. They still have Malakai Fekitoa. They had Lotu Enisi. They've got Ben Tamefuna, Adam Coleman. It's a host of experience. You know what I mean? And it's just about trying to be cohesive with that. Obviously, a new coaching staff. So there's some work on. So there's plenty of time to work on and get ready for the Pacific Nations Cup. But one thing that really did catch my eye was fly half James Favour scored a nice little try. So when they did put things together, they were able to score some points. And Fetuli Paya off the scrum, nice little out the backboard to James Favour, and he scores. But it just wasn't enough. They ended up losing 29-20. You haven't played at Del Favour. Have you played at Del Favour Stadium before?
I haven't played. I've been there, but no, I haven't played there.
To watch a game?
No, we went over there in preparation for the 2017 Rugby League World Cup.
Oh, okay.
To use the facilities there and train around there. And so,
You have a crowd there watching you train, like that were, you know, bringing some energy and atmosphere around the ground?
Yeah, there was. Afterwards, there's always like a signing session around where the boys would go around and, you know, sign things and hats and balls and, give our training shirts that we sometimes gave voluntarily or were taken off us forcefully. So
hey, you wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah. Well, the reason why I asked that, well, because the other thing that caught my eye was the fact there was a Tongan band at halftime. They were on fire. They sung an English song. They sung a Tongan song.
How good.
And they broke out into a Spanish song. I'm sure it was called Ayalena because, man, the guy was, he was animated. Yeah, he had the cha-cha going and it was fluent. I think, I'm not fluent in Spanish, but I think it was fluent and they really brought the crowd into it.
Yeah.
Then we saw one of, I think it was Tiana Penatani's uncles, jump the fence with a Spanish flag.
Nice tea.
Just waving it around. And then one of the old school Tongan players, he put up on his Instagram feed saying, this is why Tonga lost, because Spain just had too much support for them. But hey, hopefully Tonga can turn things around for that Pacific Nations Cup. We're going to move on to Fiji versus New Zealand. You know, this game was played over in San Diego. It looked like an amazing crowd with plenty of Fijians showing up to support their team. And it wasn't their day. They ended up going down 47-5. But I must say, it was an electric start. You know, the Fiji performing the Vimbi. And then in response, the All Blacks had Adi Savea leading the haka. And then Adi Savea, big news. He signed with Moana Pacifica join up with his brother Julian. So I think for Moana Pacifica, that's a great get for having someone of his caliber. So, and I guess he must have the Adi Savea rule because he's actually extended with the All Blacks as well to 2027. And in the past, they sort of made a rule, the fact that if you played for Moana Pacifica, you had to be eligible for either Tonga or Samoa, you know, and
so he's the exception.
He's the exception. Hey, when you're the man,
when you're the man, you can do whatever.
You do whatever you want, mate. You get to have play on. Exactly. It's what's it's good for the game, really, seeing him come over. He's entrenched in his Samoan culture, and I think he'd love to finish off his career with his brother beside him. So we're looking forward to that. But yeah, that Fiji game, the opening 5 minutes, you know, the game was played at a fast pace. You know, intensity was high. And I thought Fiji matched the All Blacks there with them. They were able to get off the line with line speed. They were contesting the rucks. They were putting nice kicks in behind. But after that, you just saw the cracks start to appear because All Blacks maintained that intensity. Yeah. You just saw the Fijians just start to drop off a little bit. They started falling off some tackles, a little bit slower to get off the ground, to fold in position for defense. And with that, in the 8th minute, they found the hole. All Blacks scored a try through Caleb Clark in the corner there. Just a simple missed tackle. Not through a lack of effort. It was just the fact that all it did, Damien McKenzie, was just able to hold his feet, skip out on the outside of the Fijian defender. And he was just clutching at straws. And they just found the space out wide for him to score. Fiji did respond, though. They scored a cracking try in the 17th minute. Pinpoint crossfield kick from Isaiah Armstrong-Ravula. He hit former league Semi Radradra on the outside. He passes it back on the inside to Vilimone Poititu to score the only try for the Fijians. But I like Mick Byrne's comments and after the game about his Fijian team, just saying that very proud of the effort. They knew they were coming up against the heavyweights, but now the lessons is this is the level. You know, and Will, you know, when you come up, you know, you've been an underdog team and you've played against the heavyweights. You know, what's it like there in terms of the mindset, just saying, okay, we can't have those little lapses because we've got to go toe-to-toe throughout the whole 80 minutes.
Yeah, and I think, well, one of the mindsets when you are the underdog is you got nothing to lose, really. But at the same time, you got to play consistent and a disciplined style of footy. You can't just, you know, willy-nilly throw the ball away because the, you know, the good teams will obviously make you pay. But one of the good things about being an underdog is just having that freedom is that there's no pressure on you, that the other team's expected to win. And so you just have that freedom of choice where you can play and play what's in front of you.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And hopefully, again, they're going to be the favourites for the Pacific Nations Cup. That score was 47-5 with the All Blacks. Heading over to the Wallabies, we had Australia winning 40-29 over Georgia. That's three wins in a row for the Wallabies. And it's the first time since 2009 they have won their first three tests of the year. I think they'll be very happy with scoring 40 points, but I reckon they'll be very disappointed with the manner that they leaked 29 points. So there's still some defensive issues there that they need to rectify before coming up against the heavyweights of South Africa, which is their next test match, and of course New Zealand as well. But so there's still some work-ons around the performance and not having that dip of performance throughout the game, staying in that fight for 80 and not allowing the team back into the contest. But nonetheless, well, they are a far better Wallaby team than last year. Will, I'll just get your opinion on this. For me, watching that game as well, the Wallabies are probably missing, I think, some star players. Or we see across the league, there's plenty of stars that, you know, that can make something out of nothing. Do you think Joseph Swali'i will make a big difference in rugby union playing for the Wallabies?
Personally, yeah, I do think so. You know, without obviously putting more pressure on Joseph and what he's already facing, I feel like he'll be he will be an X factor coming over to rugby, and I think he'll be a great asset to the Wallabies. You see what he does in rugby league, the way he carries the ball, he can jump in the air, contest for kicks, he can goal kick. So there's a number of, you know, assets to his game that I feel will only add value to the Wallabies team, and I think it'll be a great addition.
But in the under-20s rugby championship, Fiji lost to Spain in the 11th place playoff, losing 24-19. That's a disappointing tournament for the Fijians. They now get relegated to the under-20s trophy tournament, and Scotland winning that tournament, they end up going to the top tier one. So there'll be no Pacifica representation in the under-20s World Cup for next year. So hopefully we can fix up that pathway system so we're competing at those tournaments. But that's us for Rugby Union. Let's head over to Shelley Long.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
And coming up on The Long Story Short, we have PNG Orchid and North Queensland Cowboys star Shelley Long. Shelley, thanks for joining us. Pre-season's finished and round one's this week. How are you feeling?
Oh, excited. You know, when preseason's over, it's the best thing ever.
Will can't. He's not on the Zoom, but I can see the Zoom photo and see your face. Are you blushing? Like, because Will's on the call here? Is he a bit of a fan of yours when you were growing up? Is that right?
Oh, I'm not blushing, but Will definitely was someone that I watched growing up. A little fun fact about me, I was actually baptised in the LDS church. So growing up, that was something that I loved watching your journey in rugby league.
Thank you, Shelley. Hopefully I didn't disappoint you.
No, you didn't.
How good's that? Or should we replace him for T? You want to make that comment? We'll get rid of T, bring in Will. How about that?
Oh, I reckon I won't have a job if T heard that. Did they replace Shelley with me?
All right, Shelley, just let's start with your preseason match because you weren't here last week to chat about it. How did that go?
Yeah, it went really good. We ended up getting the win in Cairns, which was super exciting for Far North Queensland to be able to take the game more up north outside of Townsville. Titans definitely had a really strong team, though they were missing a few of their Origin representatives, but it did give us a good glimpse at what our season will look like. And I think we looked really strong across the board. If you had watched the game, you would have noticed that we played kind of a style of two-team footy. So first half was one team, second half was another team. And I think across the board, because it was so hot, we kept those teams on, whereas Titans had a very smart game plan with unlimited interchanges. They kind of rotated a lot of their positions every few minutes, which kept them fresh on the field. So it was a strong, tough game, definitely, as well.
Comparing to last season, Shelley, coming into this year, what do you feel is different?
I think just the fact that we've had a lot more consistency. The style of footy that we play has definitely changed, and I think it suits the way that we are as players. Our team's very young as well, so I think having that structure allows us to feel like we're able to do a lot more, and, you know, it's not as around the park where you're kind of getting a bit of backyard footy, then a little bit of structure. But sometimes, you know, with backyard footy, not everyone knows what you're doing. So that structure definitely helps us.
I know there was a fair few moving parts to the trial games in terms of team one, team two, rotations and all that was happening in that game. But do you feel like there's a lot of confidence for the group, you know, getting the win and building some nice combinations for round one this week?
Oh, definitely. You take a lot of confidence out of trial games. But I think, you know, a trial game is always a trial game and round one is always round one. So you got to keep building and you got to keep focusing on those round games. At the end of the day, you need to win those to make a grand final. So that's something that we'll look to this week to keep building on what we did in the trial match.
And speaking of round one, you have the Sharks coming up this week in Sydney. What are some of the focus areas for the team this week?
I think just playing our style of footy, not getting carried away. We were pretty lucky to be able to travel, and I think with the amount of staff that we have and the way that they manage us, we've been managed very well. So that travel I don't think will impact us a lot. So it's just about playing our style of footy and making sure that we're composed and hopefully playing consistent footy across the board.
You had to do a lot of travel during your domestic season, the domestic league. Do you feel like, you know, the travel to Sydney or Newcastle stuff, do you feel like you've got that down pat where it's not going to be, you know, a hindering factor anymore? It's more like just part of the preparation?
Yeah, definitely. I think being in far north Queensland, it has that disadvantage of travel. But like you said, Sam, having the majority of our team play in that the Queensland competition and travelling every week, that's something that we're now kind of climatized to, I guess you could say, or accustomed to now. So it won't impact as much, I don't think.
That's great. And I think not only does it, you know, help with your preparation heading to a game, I think mentally it makes you a bit stronger in preparation heading into these games because you're not worrying about traveling and things like that. And speaking about your team, the Cowboys, if the Cowboys aren't winning the competition this year, which two teams are you thinking might be the strongest?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, I put Cowboys up there, but I can only pick two other teams. So I would have to say I think the Raiders will be in fine form this season. I think they've definitely built on what they did last season. And I would have to go with, I reckon a team like the Tigers. Someone, you know, who's come from the bottom of the barrel. I think they look really strong across the board, especially in that trial game against the Broncos. So I'm going to put them up there. I think that people will underestimate them a little bit and they might come through.
Okay, so hypothetically, the Cowboys are on the run to the grand final. Which other Nijan players besides yourself will have a massive season that was a big reason for heading to the GF?
Oh, I would have to say Vitalina Nakore. I think for the Cowboys, she will definitely be someone that is worth watching. Her style of footy is insane. I feel like, especially in that trial game, she showed the Fiji flavour in that game. And I reckon the coaches probably had a little bit of a heart attack with her style of footy, but definitely keep an eye out on her.
And Shelley, obviously the team goal is to, you know, win as many games as you can and ultimately win the big trophy at the end. But for you personally, what are some of your personal goals heading into this season?
Oh, I think for me, it would definitely be trying to make that starting squad week in, week out, and being consistent with that. But my long-term focus is playing for my country at the end of the year. So if I can stay in fit, fine form for that throughout this season, that's something that I'd love to do, as well as, you know, a premiership ring would always be nice. But, yeah, those are probably my goals.
Well, speaking of, you know, getting into that starting 17, when does the team get announced?
The team gets announced tomorrow. So all teams will release their team lists tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So keep an eye out on those as well.
Okay. And do you know, obviously you don't want to spill the beans or get in trouble or anything like that, but when do you find out if you're in the team or not?
We find out today. So it will be quite interesting. I think most players will get told today by all clubs whether they'll play or not.
And Shelley, what's your mindset in terms of if you were to not be picked, or if you were to be picked, does it change? Does it stay the same? What's the process for you?
Oh, I think for me, if I don't get selected, I'll still keep working on myself, keep working on all the things that I'm doing, whether that be training, eating, sleep, keep focusing on those things. But I think another thing that I would want to do is be an even better teammate. So support my teammates, be happy for them, be proud of them, because at the end of the day, they've done something that I haven't been able to do. So it's just keep ticking away at those boxes. But I like to think of myself as a good teammate. So keep supporting my team.
For the ones that don't get picked, is there footy for them to play on the weekend since the competition is finished up there? Or how do they stay fit if they don't get picked?
I know quite a few teams will actually go and play in the New South Wales competition, but for us, we won't. We will stay in front of Queensland, and we will do a lot of conditioning off-feet and on-feet, playing catch-ups with the game. So, you know, you always hate not getting picked for that reason, for having to do those top-ups. Yeah. Rather just play a really hard game.
Very true.
Absolutely. That's the hardest part.
Wrapping up pre-season, was there like a last ditch up Castle Hill, as in just to say that's capping off your readiness season, or was it, did it really taper off for the girls to prepare well for this week?
So we actually got told that we were running a 1.2 at the last session of the pre-season. We all get there and we get a message, make sure you bring your joggers out. So we're thinking, no, they're lying to us again. We're definitely running the hill this time. We've seen the water jugs come out, and we know the only time they bring the water jugs out is when they're taking it up Castle Hill. And we were all nervous. Like, I reckon I was looking at my S&C and he's just doing these movements with his hands as if we're running up the hill. And I was like, oh.
Oh, the mind games. I love that.
Wow.
He's winning. And then we just ran a 1.2. We played some games, ran a 1.2, and then did a stadium time trial. And that was it. That was the end of the preseason. And they actually said, you know what, every time we've said the hill, like as a test, everyone cheers. Like it was 1.2, then put your joggers on, we're going to run up the hill. And again this year, everyone cheered, and he said, we don't actually have to run the hill because mentally you've already done it. Like you've beaten the test because you're ready to go.
I don't know about that one. I don't know about that. Anyway, good news is for the girls that you didn't have to run it. 1.2 games, coffee leading into round one, other than your game, which will be the match of the round.
Oh, this round one would definitely be the Knights versus the Roosters. That's definitely one to watch out. It'll be a fiery game. A lot of ex-players versing one another. And I just think to kick the season off, what a way to start with these two teams coming together. They are what people think will be a grand final game. I don't know. I think Cows will be there. But it's saying that it'll be a very strong, tough game.
Unreal, Shelley. Well, we really look forward to the NRLW kicking off. Seems like it's been forever since we've been talking about it. Now it's here, and we get to hear all about it next week on Monday when you come on, hopefully with a win. And plenty of our Indonesian stars killing it on the weekend. So all the best, Shelley.
Thanks, guys, and look forward to being on here next Monday.
Hey, everyone. Alex Johnson here from the PNG Kumuls, Alassassini Rabbitohs. You're here with Indonesian footy.
Well, our special guest this week is Siliva Havili, South Sydney Rabbitohs star in the NRL. I also think he'll go down in history as one of the best players to have worn the Mate Maatonga jersey. And I hope this is right. He also knows a thing or two about feats. Of course, medical, academic, of course. But Silva, welcome to the show, bro. Great to have you on.
Thanks, Sammy. Will, having me.
Oi, I will touch on the obviously will. The feet thing later. But yeah, I always feel for coaches. I'd hate to be a head coach. Eh? Like yeah. It's such a tough gig, and you're like cutthroat business. And obviously the way it ended with Jason, but you know, it just seems South Sydney have really got to new levels since the change. What's been the biggest change there? Besides a head coach, obviously.
Obviously the head coach. I know we've always put in the hard work when Jason was there. We've always trained hard, trained well. And in all honesty, like, you know, we weren't getting the results, you know, the start of the year. You know, we've put in different pieces together while Benny has, our new interim coach, and you know, that seemed to be working. You know, one win does change a lot of things. A bit of confidence does come when you win, and then a lot more excitement and more joy to the football.
The great man Wayne Bennett is coming over, and obviously I know you're still focused on this year, but next year, what does someone like Wayne, bring to the South Sydney franchise?
Yeah, I've never had Wayne before, so this will probably be my first time. But obviously, talking with a lot of the boys who've had him before I came, you know, he's something that, like, a person that, you know, brings the best out of you. So, and you know, I'm looking forward to that. The calm presence about Wayne Bennett, what he does give. You know, he's got like a real rich, CV within coaching. You know, he's won a lot of premierships, coached a lot of immortals and greats in our game. So, you know, that's something that we probably do need in our team. And I'm sure he's the right person for the team we got.
And to change the tone a little bit, Liver, you've got three beautiful daughters, and they say that parents learn as much from the kids as much as their kids learn from their parents. What have your girls taught you?
You know, being present at the time, my girls have always obviously, you know, you come in the league as an individual, and then as you go through your career and your journey, you know, you have your family and you have your girls, and then, you know, they bring a different perspective of life. So being grateful for the moments that we do, and it's not saying this in any way about football, but there's bigger things in life than football. And we're very fortunate to play this game to a certain age, and you know, injuries and a lot of things do play a part in your career. But you know, they're the ones that bring the smiles on the face after a tough loss. They take the seriousness out of everything you do. So when you go home, especially for me, three girls, full on for my wife, but you know, I come and be the fourth girl for her. So it's a bit full on at home, but it's nothing I'll take for granted. Yeah, my girls, they always support me regardless. You know, when I see my eldest, she's the one that understands more of the games now. Now she cheers us. She's a Bunnies diehard. We live in the Bulldogs area, so there's a lot of Bulldog supporters around her school. And I cop it when I pick her up, especially for the start of the year. So, yeah, the girls at home just they're full on footy.
And let's just talk a little bit about Tongan culture. Yeah, all three of us here, Tongans. My mum's Tongan, dad's Aussie, but being here in Australia, like, how immersed are you and your family in Tongan culture here in Australia?
Tonga for me is a huge part of my life. I'm very passionate about Tonga. When I see success in Tonga, like, you know, definitely brings tears of joy to me. And, you know, whatever we do, it's just to represent our people. It's a high honour for myself. And I know Will can testify to that himself. It's a big occasion, like, to be able to represent our little nation on the world stage, obviously, in the World Cups and whatever test matches we do play. So,
through your journey playing for Tonga and representing Mate Mā Tonga, what's personally for you, what's been the proudest moment for you playing for Tonga?
I could say, like, the Aussie versus Australia, that's probably like one of the biggest games, like, go down in history. Now, a lot of the boys did get tattoos of it. So it's pretty, obvious.
You didn't get it?
I didn't get that. I didn't need a tattoo because it's in the blood, eh? Yeah. But the semi-final was probably one of the biggest, because seeing the raw emotion in our people, everyone has their ways of telling the story, but having 7 minutes to chase a victory into, and obviously missing out to go into the World Cup final, but seeing the tears of joy in our people and my parents' face was probably like the biggest thing I captured out of that. You know, just proud moment like I could have with my parents, with my wife. She was pregnant at that time with my eldest daughter. You know, even though we didn't win, but that proud moment that we could put on their faces, not only that day, but weeks later, people still watching the same game and like, arguing if the ref made the wrong decision. And like, even to the next year, like I'll go over and people are still talking about it. And that's something like I will remember for the rest of my career, my whole life. I always see Jason and Big Delu changing allegiance to play for Tonga, and then obviously going on that run. It's a big story, and you know, that's just probably like a proud moment for myself, and it's definitely encouraged a lot in the, you know, the Samoan space. Hopefully, like it does continue because our people are really talented in this area.
Can you explain to me the feeling that you had and the emotions that you had when you've run out of the tunnel and the sea of red, like during that the game against New Zealand, the game against Australia, the game against England. And it's just a sea of red singing the, what was the hymn again?
114.
Yeah.
I don't know how to put it into words, but like, you know, I got goosebumps. There was a moment where I ran out and just seen the full stadium at Mount Smart in that semi-final was just red everywhere. And then not only after that, the parades that were going on outside the stadium, but just the red sea around the stadium, around the you know, the community and everything. We went back to Tonga, that was even more crazy. You know, we got treated like kings when we went back to Tonga, and it was like seeing what we done, just the little sacrifice we done as players or even just the games we did win, and how much joy it put on people's faces. You're sitting there singing the anthem, you think back to the thousands of Tongans that send through their messages from Tonga and their little remote villages, you know, having one massive TV with like 2,000 people watching behind it. Just that, those sort of moments is the ones that get you going for Tonga. Like, you know you'll put your body in the line for those people because that's how much it means to our people, and that definitely warms our hearts, you know, to put on their jersey.
There's been some great Tongan players that have led the Sipitau or Kumatai. We've had Benny Terebo. Personally, I've been able to witness you lead our team in the Sipitau. What does that mean to you to lead the Sipitau every time you go to war?
It's a massive honour. In 2013, I was just learning how to angi the Sipitau. And I was probably like the only young kid coming through where I could speak Tongan, which is probably what gave me the edge. I called my family friend and friend from back home in New Zealand, like, you know, he was teaching me. He wanted to save his voice for the actual games when he was going to hang it. So when we were toured to England that World Cup, I was pretty much our team in that Tonga. Yeah, we were flying to Tonga. We went to New Zealand to try get money, fundraising money to help the team get over to England and to, you know, fund for certain meals, gear and everything, whatnot, massages and everything, what, you know, what Australian that was getting. We weren't fortunate enough to get those sort of stuff back then. So we were fundraising. And we were doing the Sipitau everywhere we went. Every time, like Charlie Donga, our coach at that time, would go, well, we need money, so do the Sipitau. Kuma would look at me and I'd go do the Sipitau. Like, oh, let's go. We'll bang out the Sipitau like 5 times on the street. In Erahu, then we go to an event, do the Sipitau. We go to England, do the Sipitau everywhere. And then I'm just like, by the time it came to the game, my voice was gone. So Ukuma, obviously, he did the games and I did the stuff off the field. And slowly from there, I just learned. I was obviously, Kuma retired. We had more games here in Australia. And then I took the reins from there and then just stuck with it. Obviously, 2017, we got in trouble for changing the leaders a bit too much. It was fitting that because Jace Tamalolo turned his back on the Kiwi. So we played in Hamilton, yeah. And we were playing the Kiwis and it was his first game against them. So I go, Jace, do you want to lead the haka against them? Or look pretty cool. So he done it. And then we played Australia and I told Dela to do the same thing. So, but then ever since that, Wolfie told us to stick with the one present before we look stupid.
I do know, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that, just when you're all huddled up, again, not knowing who was going to lead it, and when everyone dropped down, you see big Jason in the front, just like, oh, boy, you go, oh, and then Dale did it as well. Yeah. But, you know, a funny thing about that story as well, a couple of years ago, I interviewed a couple of players from the 1973 Tonga team that toured to Australia, and they said the exact same story, what they had to do in Australia. They had to busk for their money, for, you know, and they did their sipitau. They did, some dances and stuff. They sung outside of the shopping centre, and then they used that money to go buy meat. And it's crazy that, you know, say 50 years on,
still
happening, you know? You still have to do the same thing.
Man, we're in Tonga, standing in the middle of the road with buckets, and people drive passport, little notes, coins, whatever they can, just to fundraise, and that's how big it was, and it's still happening. But to this day, like, the players that play for Tonga now in our team, they wouldn't know that, because, you know, we're real fortunate now to have sponsors, and, you know, everyone wants to help us out because of the success we've had in that 2017 World Cup. So,
yeah. Do you think that helps you keep your two feet on the ground, that humility piece, knowing that, hey, we could be the biggest things and go take on and beat Australia, but at the same time, we're still one of the people here, not being Siulalo or anything. We're just on the same level here.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it makes you grounded. Imagine being like the star player in your local team, then you're coming to put a bucket out to, you know, fundraise to go play at the World Cup. Brings you back into perspective about, you know, what our culture is about, what we do have. You know, we don't forget our people, you know. Like, to know motto, you know, that's around the whole people too. So,
and tell us some of the differences in terms of when you first came representing Tonga until, you know, last year we had the series against England. What are some of the differences in camp in terms of professionalism and quality and things like that?
Oh, but massive difference. I made my debut for Tonga in 2013, and I came on as a young kid just to
How old would you have been then?
19. Wow. So I was in 20s. Yeah. And we, obviously, the position I play, hooker, is not like we didn't have many back then. But when I came on, I was just a young kid coming through just to come through to the camp and experience. That camp, like, for me, it was just to be surrounded by, like, Fui, Dave, Fuss. We had all the legends, Anthony Tupou, Jace. Me and Jace are the same age, so he was a stud, and he was already playing. We had so many young kids, and then mixed around with all of the big dogs and Fui and that, Sikamanu, that's when he made his first move. And then, like, went into camp. I was the youngest. I had to carry the flag everywhere I had to go. That's a ritual we have in the camp. Like, the youngest player has to carry the flag. But I was carrying it around with a 4XL training shirt. That's that's what it was, bro. Like, that was, we all had to have 4XL. But we were all fortunate then because we had legends and Will's dad, John, and also Solomon Haumono. I don't know if you know, like, when you go to a hotel, you get the breakfast deal. So we didn't have lunch and dinner. We had our team room in the Homebush at the hotel, but they were pretty much making the food for us. John and Solomon Haumono, they were making food, like, because we didn't have dinners from the hotel. We didn't have that sort of money to, you know, feed us. So a lot of the locals and the, like, making food, bring it into camp, into our hotel for us to feed us. And, like, going from, like, 4XL training gear, big shorts.
Did you save your water bottles?
Water bottles, save your water, and you share pretty much everything. To what it is now is a massive, massive step, and it's a credit to Tonga Rugby League, credit to the boys itself, like, and they're making that sacrifice. And our boys now you pretty much get treated like you would in an NRL team. Now you get your massages. People want to help Tonga now. You're getting physios from NRL teams who want to be the physio for Tonga. You're getting head coaches who want to help assist Tonga, trainers and everything. And I know for sure that one thing that we do have is the humility right from that time to it is now is still the same. These Tongan camps or Samoan camps, whatever you're going to, it's probably the best times not for our wives and everything, but for us, because that's the best things about it.
Man, I love hearing those stories. You talk about high performance, you can do that, but at the end of the day, it's what's inside that really matters. So, you know, hearing you speak so open and honest about it, as proud Tongan as well, it makes me feel, I don't know, just heartwarming inside that we've got people like yourself and Will putting their bodies on the line to represent our tiny island. I just want to shift gears now. I mentioned feet at the start of the show. I thought someone gave me the wrong information. but you're qualified, or you've done your degree in podiatry. Is that right?
Yeah, I have.
What made you go down the path of wanting to study feet?
Have you seen his feet?
No, I haven't. Are they beautiful? I'm sure they're beautiful.
No, they are.
Yeah.
Pedicures and what?
Yes. Bit flat, but hey, it's
real
beautiful.
Real flat. I get the weird looks all the time from, I've been at four different clubs and every physio is the same. What's wrong with your feet, mate? But real flat. When I was coming through the 20s, we obviously had to do some sort of trade work or study. And fresh out of high school, I went to St. Paul's in Auckland and went to pursue uni, obviously. And I wanted to do something along the lines of sport. And because my feet was real flat, so is every other islander. I had to see a podiatrist in Auckland and get some orthotics. So I went in to see the podiatrist and I seen on his wall heaps of shoes and, you know, like I was like, oh, bro, this is pretty cool. This is like, is this got to do with sport? He goes, yeah, this is sport orientated. Like, maybe we make orthotics for footwear and everything. So I started thinking, started reading more into it. As a young kid coming through, you want the best sneakers and, you know, your sneak collection and everything. Yeah. So I started thinking that. Then I was like, oh, wow, cool. So I want to pursue this. I go into podiatry school and, you know, we start talking about diabetic foot, rheumatoid arthritis and gout, all this stuff that happened. I'm like, this is not what I want to do. And we started talking about, you know, the elderly, where I realized that, you know, some elderlies don't, you can't clip your toenails and stuff. So that's what we ended up practicing in uni. Then I was like, this is not what I signed up for. Anyways, along the track, there's another side of it, which is the biomechanics stuff of it. And that's the sports side. So that's the reason why I chose to go along there, because it's something aligned with sport, which is what I was always interested in. And hopefully one day, like I pursue back into that era and make my own shoe with the flattest, have tend to these flat feet.
it's great that you got your degree in podiatry. Sometimes amongst, you know, the Polynesian community, education isn't always the top or highest priority. And so to have someone of your status playing in the NRL that's qualified in podiatry speaks volumes about your character. Speaking of study and getting your degree in podiatry, what did you learn about yourself through studying in podiatry?
I learned that, like, you know, for myself, I was never a guy to stay at home, and I can't stay at home. I can't just sit there and, you know, watch TV or play a game. I was never interested in PlayStation, and I was real fortunate that the NRL was always going to fund our education. So I took the most of that. I got into uni. They obviously helped pay a lot of the uni fees into that. Because I didn't like staying at home, I was always wanting to go to uni. I wanted to go and learn, and I met some friends there that helped me along the way. I was the only islander there. I had a Māori guy that I used to hang around with, and he was the man, bro. He used to, like, help me out with everything. He's a basketball player. I was happy because that taught me, like, you know, there's more to rugby league than there's more to life than just rugby league. I've always been told that you've got to have a plan B. And I could also say my parents, you know, they gave me the belief. They're graduates themselves. I'm not the first to graduate, where a lot of people in New Zealand, in the Pacific Island homes, like you said, it's not real big in their families. But I had the right people in my parents, my siblings, put me in good stead.
Man, I absolutely love that, because now that if someone does send their kids or someone to you to be looked after, that's just not some Tonga man stepping on you and doing that. You know, yeah, that's the one on that. But honestly, man, I wish I could chat to you all day about, you know, obviously your upbringing and stuff. But from all of us here at Nijan Footy, man, we really appreciate your time, sharing your story, and inspiring so many Pacifica talent, athletes coming through, rugby league players coming through, boys and girls, to represent their tiny island. And much love and all the best for the rest of the season.
Thanks, Sammy. Thanks, Will, for having me.
Nisian Footy with Sam and T. Nisian Knowledge.
All right, our time is nearly up for us, but before we go, each week on Nisian Footy, we end with Nisian Knowledge. And, Will, this is your first time doing Nisian Knowledge. We gave you the heads up that you've got to bring three questions. T makes it like I need to be Einstein to crack some of the to get some of the answers.
Did you tell T that you told me to give you easy questions?
Well, it's up to you, really. But I did allude, like, he's genuine filthy. He rang me and said, make sure Will has hard questions. Like, shut up and get out of here. Go on your RLPA, do your club visits.
Sorry, T, if you're listening, he's going to get all three of you.
And, mate, watch him. He'll message me after the show and say, oh, what were the questions? Won't even ask how you went. He'll just ask about the questions. Oh, sorry, the score update as well. And this is why he'll rip in, because I'm in front here. 10 to 9.5, and the loser actually at the end of the year has to get a Nisian Footy tattoo on their bum. I said I'm getting it regardless because I love this show. It's good. And I'm going to get Tinerau's face on there with it. So
9.5, how do you get a 9.5?
Or we get half a point sometimes.
Oh, half a point, okay.
And to be honest, we've been going for a long time and like our highest score is 10, so that's why we're not really that great at answering. But anyway, let's see how we go.
All right, well, I think you're going to get 3 points this week, Sammy.
Say that. I'm pretty bad.
Question one. Which, multiple choice.
Okay, perfect.
Which Pacifica Wallabies player didn't score against Georgia last weekend? A, Hunter Paisami. B, Alan Alalatoa. C, Rob Valentini. And D, Isaac Galea.
Oh, man, this is an easy one, brother. I actually watched this game. So Alan Alalatoa didn't score. He scored the week before, though. So the other three did get over the line.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. There's 1 point. Yes, T.
All right, question two. The Redcliffe Dolphins, they played the Penrith Panthers. They lost by two. Kicked four out of four goals, right? Who kicked their goals?
Oh, man, his name is at the tip of my tongue, and I just, he's got beautiful eyebrows. He's got nice eyebrows.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. Jamal. Isako? Jamal Isako?
Jermaine
Isako.
Jermaine Isako.
Oh, it's.
What's that?
Is that half a point?
You said Jamal Isako. It's a half?
Yeah, half. Give me half. Yes. Half. That's how we get half points.
That's how we get half. All right. And final question. The Roosters played Melbourne. They lost. However, who was their first try scorer?
Oh, who was their first try scorer? Oh, first try scorer. Oh, man, I can't even think of the Indonesian players. I remember Spencer Linu celebrating with him. Or was it Spencer? Off the grubber. Oh, I'm just going to go with Spencer.
Spencer? No, it was Daniel Tupou.
Oh, Nella.
Nella.
How many tries has he scored? He's scored heaps, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's the leading try scorer for the club.
Yep.
Yeah. I think he's close to breaking the top 10 all time.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's just breaking records, man.
Hey, that was outstanding. Well, I really love those questions. T, if you're listening, make sure you have questions like that, just, you know, so our listeners can play as well. But I've got 1.5, so what's that? 11.5 players, 9.5. Thank you, Will. That was outstanding. Hopefully we can get you back on. But that's our time up for Nisian Footy today. Remember, you can catch up on all our chats with athletes like Tash Benadani, Ruben Porter, and plenty more wherever you get your podcasts. Outstanding, Will. Thank you so much, mate. You're a legend.
Thank you, Sammy. Thanks for having me.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.